There are scientific reasons why we have difficulties staying focused and getting stuff done. In this episode, I'll be sharing a story of writing birthday cards for my staff and making connections to how many of our kids with ADHD struggle with unconscious influences. It's okay if we struggle. That's part of the journey, but we can get better if we look inwards. Honest reflection is the key to growth.
Welcome to the Andy Jacks Podcast, reflection on education, leadership, and life. Please consider hitting that like button, sharing with others, and letting me know what you think.
There's a saying, you don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. Powerful, right? There's so many times in our lives that we wish we could just start something, or maybe it's not even just the starting we're worried about, but we want to be this thing down the road, but we have such a difficult time just getting started on it in the very beginning. That could be a really big thing, like we want to complete some massive project, another degree, certification, something like that. Or it could be something as simple as just birthday cards. And so that's what I'm going to start with this episode, is sharing a little bit of story about how my struggle with birthday cards this year. Every year, we try to get birthday cards for our staff that we sign from the office staff. And we give it to them on their birthday, and it's a little thing, you know. I don't know that many people maybe care about it as much as others. But it's also one of those things, if you don't do it, people remember. You know, it's like, it's that opportunity cost. When you get it, you're thinking, oh, that's nice. It doesn't like blow you away. Like, it's not the best thing you've ever received, just a card. But the fact that someone took the time and energy to do it makes you appreciate them for doing that. And they remembered you on your day. And everybody should have a personalized note on their day saying happy birthday. Typically, we do that from the office staff. We all write our names on it. We give it to them on that assigned date. This year with COVID was a huge challenge. For most of the year, we were all virtual, so our staff wasn't even in the building. It was difficult to get things to them, let alone trying to all sign the same card, which is something we definitely were not doing. And only now, with just about all of our staff back in the building, things start to feel a little bit more normal, getting back on the right path to sort of what our typical day was like. So birthday cards came up. And I noticed this around Christmas time, and one of the things we do in our office staff is we have an admin calendar, like a special shared calendar. We use Microsoft Outlook and all that, so we have calendar. On that calendar, we try to make sure that we have all the birthdays for all the staff. And, you know, I feel bad if we miss any birthday. And I'm not going to start this by saying, look how I do something because it's so amazing. In fact, if you're listening to my podcast, most of my podcasts, probably every episode, has something that I'm not doing very well in my reflection on how to get better. And this is just another one. So midway through the year, I realized we weren't doing birthday cards. And I just thought to myself, that's not okay. And I really used COVID as an excuse to not do them. And I thought to myself, that's not good enough. We have people that need to be recognized. So let's do that. And so right after the winter break, we came back and I had my bookkeeper go find a big box of birthday cards, you know, sorted cards. And we got them in and I immediately started doing birthday cards. And one of the things I really thought about was, what about all those people before then that didn't get birthday cards? And it really held me back because I thought, well, maybe I just don't do birthday cards this year. Because all those people that didn't have one, maybe be angry and feel bad they didn't get one, but the new people do get some. In fact, if you're listening and you're a staff member, because some of my staff listen to this podcast, I'm sorry. I'll just flat out say it, I'm sorry. We dropped the ball. We should have given you a birthday card, and I'm going to make it up to you. So don't worry. You still have a card coming your way. I think we're going to do the unbirthday, you know, like the day opposite of the year that's your birthday. Like Alice in Wonderland. Merry unbirthday to you. But just because we didn't do something before doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it now. And I think that holds us up so many times. Just like in this birthday card, we thought to ourselves, in this case for me, it's my decision. And yes, we're going to do them. Even if we didn't do them for the people before, we should start doing them now. Because we still can make an impact for the second half of the year for all these people that are going to get a card. And they do appreciate it. And it's not even just about them. I need to do it because it's important for me to go through that effort to make this, you know, write this birthday card out and give it to them. I remember them on their day, every single person. And in this case, for COVID, we're not sharing the card and all of us signing it. I'm signing it from me, from our office staff. And I realize that while I'm making this card, it is actually a little bit of a big deal because I'm thinking of this person, I'm wishing them well, and I'm writing them a handwritten note. And for me, my handwriting's terrible. I hate to write anything. I love to type stuff. I remember like nightmares of going into the classroom in like middle school and high school, and there'd be, you know, I'm old now. So you have the chalkboards, the three walls of chalkboards, all written with notes. And your job for the whole day for that lesson was just to literally recopy all those notes in your notebook with your pencil. Though I don't know if there's a worse dread in my life than that. My hands cramp up. I got these big hands, and they cramp up. They hurt. I hate it. Just get sloppy. So for me, I love typing. Typing's great. I can type fast. I'll type any day of the week versus handwriting something. But typing an email or a note, some of those things are just not the same. There's something powerful about a handwritten note to somebody that it comes across differently from them. And for you yourself, it just feels a little more organic and natural. So that's what we're doing. We're doing these handwritten notes. So in this case, I thought, well, why was it such a challenge for me to do that this year? And why did I go through this little, like, almost like mini journey of, should I do this? Should I not do it? Of course I should do it. Why was I even waiting? Well, it's because I was busy. And there's a lot of other things going on in my mind. And there's a lot of other influences that were happening at the time, both emotionally and physically, demanding of my attention and time, that was making me have a hard time deciding whether to do this or not. Ultimately, I just made it simple. I got a box of cards. I look a few weeks ahead of time. I write out the cards, and I just do it. And I give it to my secretary to mail or to give it to them in person. So it ends up being really simple. I'm not doing anything more than that. And I think that's sort of a key to this, is keep things simple and just start doing it. Even if you didn't do something before, you'll catch up with that later. So again, you don't have to be great to start, but you do have to start to be great. And a year from now, 6 months from now, will you have wished that you started on that date? So if today is the day and you're worried about starting or not doing something, a week from now, 2 weeks from now, a month from now, a year from now, will you wish you would have started today? I think the answer is yes. So just start something and do it. And if you're not doing it, don't beat yourself up. It's not your fault in a lot of ways. There are influences that really affect your decision to do this. So the next sort of half of this podcast this time is I really want to get into some of our students. Something I'm going to try to do a better job of in these podcasts coming up is doing that more overt, direct connection to specifically student learning, maybe students with disabilities or students that struggle. That's something I'm very passionate about, advocating for, supporting, and ultimately understanding what we can do better to help serve our students. You can't get mad at them for having, you know, issues with learning. All we can do is get better ourselves to help them. So in this case, I want to look at a very specific type of student, one with ADHD. And I think some people probably think I have ADHD. I don't know if I have ADHD. I was never diagnosed. You could argue that I do. I don't know. But I can very much relate to the research I'm going to share in this next segment on the podcast. So that'll help you decide. Maybe you do too a little bit. And to some degree, I think we all have these same unconscious challenges with how we make decisions. So I was inspired by this article I read about the ADHD connection and our decision-making. And it's titled, Why Do Adults and Children with ADHD or ADD Have Strong Motivation and Executive Function for Some Tasks and Never Find the Cognitive Spark to Do Others? And it's by Dr. Thomas Brown. So it's that idea of why do, you know, even though there's differences with kids and adults, of course, with ADD and ADHD, but there's a similarity in almost all of them about this sort of chronic, they call it chronic difficulty in how they're organized or getting started on tasks or how they're focused, you know, their attention span or just what they're, you know, giving their attention to. And that difficulty in having that same sort of executive efficiency, that executive functioning. That executive functioning is that part of your brain that helps you like sort of do one thing after another methodically to get something done. So how come for some activities, you see people that are, or see of our kids that are very focused, almost they obsess about something, they get it done. But in other ones, maybe not a preferred task, they look almost lazy or non-compliant. And it becomes very frustrating for a teacher because it's like, you know, they can do it, but they just refuse to. And it's almost like natural that as teachers, we get to this point of like pushing and either motivating them or, you know, trying to almost overwhelm them with this sort of drive to do something. When in a lot of cases, they don't even know why they're doing it or not. It's not a willpower thing. It's not really about motivation. And appearances can be deceiving. You know, some of our kids that are very focused at times with some things, you know, other times that they're not, we think it's like their choice sort of overtly that they don't want to do it. But that is not the case so many times. You can't just push them and sort of motivate them to do something. In fact, if you do that, in a lot of cases, they just get overwhelmed and frustrated. For many of us and many of our students, it's about what is interesting to them in that very little micro moment. Maybe they're interested in it altogether, sort of overall, but in that moment, they may or may not be interested in that specific task versus all the other tasks that are happening around them. There's something called this unconscious feelings that lead us to making decisions that we don't even understand that that's happening behind the scenes. So our students, most of the time, don't even understand that these are happening behind the scenes either. So when you look at them and you ask them, you know, why aren't you doing this? What would you rather do instead? We give you all these choices to do. I don't think that a lot of them could even describe to you what they're thinking and why they're making these decisions. So we have to help sort of slow things down and do things a little bit more in a small mode to help them move forward with something. Our kids with ADHD struggle with being consistent with how and when they engage in tasks. Part of that is due to their working memory. And the challenge of our modern world and our modern classroom with the overloaded sense of like tasks and sometimes complex tasks that they have to do all at one time. And making that decision on which one should be done now or next or following that. Sometimes this leads to difficulties making connections in their learning from one thing to another. This working memory sometimes even challenges them with making connections with people, like other people, like their friends, to you as a teacher. It's hard for them sometimes to see the big picture, what's going on, and how everything relates together. And the same thing with their emotions. It can be very difficult to handle and understand the many emotions going on in their brain, in their heart throughout that day, which then can lead them to be confused and frustrated and a lot of times act out. And you see sometimes people recommend ADHD medication. I'm not going to get into a whole discussion about medication. Honestly, I don't even know how I feel about that. So there's so many ups and downs with that. But let's talk about what it's meant to do. An ADHD stimulant medication, for instance, can help improve efficiency and help that working memory and be more focused potentially, but ultimately only with the tasks that the brain consciously or unconsciously is interested in doing. And a lot of times, this fear and anxiety of the classroom, of school, of their lives, are much more of a powerful agent to work against anything we try to do to help medically. So in our classrooms, there's a lot we can't control, but we can control how students feel when they come in. Do they feel supported? Do they feel like we have their back no matter what? That if they're struggling, that we're not going to blame them for their loss of learning or not catching up, but we're going to go one by one by one and just keep helping them to help them move forward. And they were proud of them, of even the smallest little wins going forward. And as I think about what can help our students, it also just naturally helps me think about what can help myself or help any of you, help our, you know, ourselves as a school. Stephen King says the scariest moment is always just before you start. Powerful statement for a lot of our students and ourselves. That moment right before you start, you know, if you're going to jump out of an airplane to skydive, it's that moment right then that is the scariest thing. And maybe there's something you're putting off until next week, next year, tomorrow, or looking for the right time to do it, when we all know there's no really right time to start. So what can we do? So if you're helping your students, or you're helping yourself, think about these three things. One, start small. Do one thing. Don't worry about it being perfect, but do it repeatedly on a routine until it becomes just sort of natural and just easy. You don't even think about it. That helps to reduce confusion or any misunderstandings when you keep things simple. The second thing is make it meaningful. If the work you're doing you feel is important, then you will more likely do it more often. When that work has an impact on others, ourselves, that it really matters, the more we'll be motivated to do it. The third thing is don't overthink improvement. Doing something repeatedly will just sort of automatically lead to natural and organic improvements over time, almost without even trying. If we force change too hard, or it has to be too perfect, or every single time we want to improve something, the whole thing may just fall apart because just your sort of the weight of perfection is just sort of crushing it all. So stop wishing, start doing, and don't beat yourself up. Our modern world is on just information and task overload. It's a miracle that we get anything done, and that our students get anything done in the classroom. Because what our students have to do nowadays versus what we had to do growing up is just a whole nother world. So be more patient with our kids. Help them really focus on the one little thing they can do, not the 50 different things they have to do or catching up missed assignments, because that's a big piece here. Like if we have students that are making up assignments, don't give them this massive list of assignments. Give them the one thing they can do right now and then celebrate that when they get it done. So maybe you don't have a problem with birthday cards. Maybe you have that locked down. Or maybe there's these other tasks that you wish you could do instead, and you're just struggling with starting. Joyce Brothers says success is a state of mind. If you want success, start thinking of yourself as success. Focus on that one thing and go crush that out right now. Embrace the challenge around you. The challenge changes us, and that struggle in the process gives us strength. Appreciate that journey because it helped you become who you were meant to be.
That wraps up this episode. Follow me on social media at _AndyJax. Check out my website, andyjax.com, to sign up for my updates and blog posts. And please do me a favor. Can you go follow and rate this podcast so I know that you're connected? Have a great day, everybody. Go get after it.